And that's covered in a book called Full Disclosure, we don't have, but certainly the book called the Operation...
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the moment, why they happen to be, or for the next hour, the views of John Quirk. And John Quirk has spent many, many years working within the intelligence community. He's retired now, but he travels throughout the world, has contacts, certainly in Europe, contacts in the Near East and the Middle East, and, in, of course, in Central America and South America. So it's always a pleasure to have John with us to give us an overview of what's really going on in the world today. Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Stan. Thanks. Thanks so much for the nice introduction and the kind words.
Well, why don't you give us your take on what's going on? We understand that Netanyahu has, of course, been in Washington, D.C., talking to the President Obama. They're talking about, certainly about the Palestinian state. President Obama says, of course, that he will not negotiate Jerusalem. He's taking a strong stand. I wonder how much of this, though, is showbiz, that the decisions have already been made about what's going to happen, and the fact that Israel is going to be forced to make additional concessions.
Well, I think, for the first time, I've never seen so many Israelis down, forlorn, and an increase of their paranoia. And whether I've talked to diplomats in Israel, intelligence officers, military, former Israelis, Israeli expatriates, there is a uniform mistrust of Obama and almost a very, very, and I'm being kind, a strong dislike of Obama. And if you look at all of the blogs coming out of the pro-Israel groups, and there's quite a bit of them, they're extremely anti-Obama. They don't trust him. They don't like him. There's horrible things that are happening. They call him narcissistic. They call him abandoning Israel. They call him destroying Israel. Even Dick Morris said that the death of Israel is on its way. And I think many, many American Jews who voted for Obama, there are quite a few of them, are starting to feel that perhaps they made the wrong decision.
All right. Well, certainly I can understand why they'd feel that. It would appear that Obama is really determined to side with the Palestinians over the Israelis, and he's simply going through the actions. But this is certainly going to upset the situation there. What do you hear about, of course, the possibility? Is there any real possibility of Israel launching a unilateral attack on Iran because of their fear of Iran getting nuclear weapons, or is this a lot of hype?
Well, I think it would be very difficult in a certain way logistically, the way people would think that they would launch an attack. Going back a little bit, here's the problem. The problem is Mr. Obama has already given signals to the Iranians that he wants to give in on the sanctions unfreeze the money and give them much-needed oil technology without really much of a commitment from the Iranians. In fact, the Iranians have kind of slapped Mr. Obama's hand away. And the other day, as you probably know, they said they're not even going to think about talking to him until after the Iranian elections. And then talking about elections, you've got Hezbollah coming up for elections. It looks like Hezbollah is going to win inside Lebanon, which would then squeeze the Israelis. They would have two democratically elected terrorist groups, Hezbollah and Hamas.
Hold that thought, John. We're going to be back in just a moment. Iran, go right ahead and pick that.
If Hezbollah does win in Lebanon, which is likely, you'd have two democratically elected terrorist groups squeezing Israel. And I think Obama kind of indicated that to the Prime Minister of Israel. His body language kind of showed that he wasn't interested, that he had to be fair to the Palestinians, that he had a law, according to the Israelis I know, he's starting to give in to Saudi and other Arab interests. And then the whole issue of Iran, which is very problematic, because if the Iranians delay, they will have at least now 6 months to a year to develop probably several warheads. And here's the only thing. People have been talking about Israel launching airstrikes, which now seems unlikely for a couple of reasons. First, it's a 4,200-mile trip. Second, the United States, Obama has just come out openly and said he's not going to give them codes for their aircraft or give them any more bunker busters. So the Israelis, from the people I know, are saying that there could be attacks from Israeli submarines. Okay, Israel has a number of submarines that are in the area that could pinpoint and knock out the major Iranian nuclear research facilities. But I think the Israeli Prime Minister is going to continue to watch American diplomacy, see how long it takes. And then if you look at the whole history of Iran and their nuclear program, our intelligence and Israeli intelligence really is not that accurate. Now they're saying, the Americans are saying, it could take 2 years before Iran really has warheads. The Israelis are going mute on the subject. They've said 3 months, 6 months. They may not want to embarrass the Obama administration, but the people I know in intelligence, in Azerbaijan, Israel, and even Iranian defectors say that they're probably 3 to 6 months maximum away from having 2 to 3 warheads, and they've already got the deployment system. So I don't think Mr. Obama sees it as a very top priority. I think that his belief is that he's got to force, as you had mentioned, Israel to give in to concessions, not the Palestinians, or on the other side, not the Iranians.
Well, of course, you know, it would only take one or two major bombs to just destroy Israel. It's a small nation. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with John Quirk. Well, Dr. Stan, John, go right ahead. I was just saying, of course, that John was saying that there's a good deal of evidence and suggests that Iran will be able to have a couple of warheads here between 3 and 6 months. And I was simply pointing out that Israel really is not in a position to wait and see what happens because, you know, certainly one or two nuclear bombs would literally destroy Israel. I mean, they've only got a very small country, and certainly you hit knock out Tel Aviv, knock out Jerusalem, or knock out one of the their nuclear power plant there, that would really be almost the end of Israel as we know it. Go right ahead.
Well, I think there's another mini war going on, and that's among Mr. Obama's policymakers. I think that you have the center-left or leftists that are arguing for continued diplomacy with Iran. And then you have some new voices speaking up saying, look it, we better really support Israel. They're a democracy. We need to support them. And if you look at Obama's statements in the last month, he's actually changed his mind several times in making certain statements. He said he wanted to continue to negotiate with Iran. And then just the other day, he said that if Iran continues to develop nuclear possibilities, we would probably ourselves launch attacks. So you don't know what to believe. What you have in Obama's National Security Policymaking Group are people that are really inexperienced in many ways. They have completely different opinions. Susan Rice, who is his ambassador to the UN, has been traditionally Palestinian. Ivo Dalder, who is the new U.S. ambassador to NATO, is pushing for a complete reduction and elimination of American nuclear weapons in Europe. So there's conflict going on among the policymaking groups. And then you have Obama's Rasputin, Mr. Axelrod, who doesn't know anything about national security, probably leaning more on the side of, but it's hard to tell, being pro-Israel and giving Israel support. And then Mrs. Clinton also has been very wishy-washy. She's got three very prominent former ambassadors, Mr. Holbrooke, Mr. Indyk, and Donald Ross, who is the chief negotiator on the Iran thing. They're all having different opinions about what's going on. And part of it is all the problems that the United States is having. We're having problems in Afghanistan. There's a resurgence of violence in Iraq. A lot of our military leaders are worried about Iraq. And then out of the blue, you've got this constant problem with North Korea. So we have very major national security issues being thrust upon a new president. And it seems like it's very tough for him to be making decisions in those areas.
Well, of course, he has a lot of people like James Jones, four-star Marine general. But certainly there is this foreign policy establishment, call it the Trilateral Commission, call it what you will. I mean, they're the people who really run the government. They're people are in positions, key positions, whether it would be certainly the Hillary Clinton or certainly the people you mentioned, Holbrooke, Ross, they're all tied into the Trilateral Commission. They obviously have an agenda. And I wonder if there really is bumbling as they would appear to be, certainly with 11 key members of the Trilateral Commission in key positions of the Obama administration. I think that they will tell Mr. Obama what to do, and he'll probably do what he's told to do.
Well, then also you have Bill Berger members and other people, Yale people from the Council of Foreign Relations who have been, traditionally pretty conservative. But when it comes down to it, whether you're looking at the Trilateral Commission or Bill Berger or the Council of Foreign Relations, the name of the game is oil. And they've got Iraq positioned. We have a base there. They see Iran as a next stepping stone, and then Iran is the next stepping stone to all the oil in Central Asia. But before we can solidify that oil in Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and so on, we have to solidify what we're doing in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And
well,
that's been deteriorating.
Well, Pakistan really, of course, is one of the big question marks. Certainly here's a country that got perhaps 60 nuclear bombs, and we've got the Taliban there. Yeah, certainly we're making advances. Apparently there's been the pushback as far as the assault on the Swat Valley. But, certainly the Taliban are not going to just simply go away. They're going to keep working until they overthrow that Pakistan government. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of determination on the part of the Pakistan government really to take a strong stand against the radical Islamists.
Well, that's right. And I think Mr. Obama is starting to realize two things that he didn't realize when he was a senator. He's getting tremendous updates on intelligence on how bad the situation is, although he is committed to expanding the war in Afghanistan. And the second thing is, all experts agree, whether it's in the Pentagon or the CIA or whether it's in our Treasury Department, the war in Afghanistan could cost twice as much as war in Iraq, twice as much in terms of casualties and in terms of money.
Well, but John, the thing that bothers me is certainly the Soviets were there for 10 years. They couldn't defeat the Afghans. Do you think that we would ever be able to really defeat that? I think the last Caucasians ever defeated Afghanistan was Alexander the Great.
You know, I've got a very good friend of mine who lives in Boca Raton. His name is Wali Shah Wali. He's a member of the older royal family of Afghanistan, and this is what he said. Even if the United States claims victory, they'll never be able to completely defeat the tribes or the Taliban. It'll be just like controlling them so they don't take over the whole country. But even today, opium production is high. Pakistan is starting to really deteriorate, even though there's lots of casualties going on now against the Taliban. And the Russians have sucked us into Afghanistan because they've bribed the leaders of Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan to close our bases down. But then yet the Russians are offering us their bases because they want us to expand in Afghanistan. And I was basically very positive for going into Iraq. I believe there were weapons of mass destruction. I think it's a good thing. We needed a forward base. We had to get rid of that evil person who was killing people, Saddam Hussein. We needed as a jumping stone to protect our interest of oil in Central Asia. But I think going into Afghanistan could be a disaster. It could spread the war into Pakistan, possibly Iran. It could spread the war farther south. It could cause the Indians great trouble if fundamentalists try to take over. And you're seeing what is going to be several turnovers of the Pakistani government. We had Musharraf. We badmouthed him, although he permitted CIA to come in and manage a lot of the 47 nuclear warheads that are there. The Bush administration never gets any credit for this, but they helped Pakistan and India avoid a nuclear war 6 years ago. And now you have a new regime that's very timid, could be replaced by another regime and another regime. And as Pakistan deteriorates, that's our flank where all of our troops are going into Afghanistan. So certainly, I think we're going to see billions spent. I think they have something like $352 billion budgeted for this year in Afghanistan. But even Mr. Obama said we may be there 5 years, and you're looking at trillions of dollars there. And the ticker is still running on Iraq, and who knows what's going to happen in North Korea. So it's about oil, but it's also about the United States continuing to go greater and greater into debt.
Well, that I think is one of the biggest things. That certainly, great nations are destroyed because they get too far into debt, and we don't have the money to continue fighting these wars. We're having to borrow money every single day to pay our bills, and then, of course, we're not only giving a lot of money out in foreign aid, but we're expanding the war in Afghanistan. This is all going to cost money. Where is it going to come from? And if other countries should stop being willing to lend us money, how could we possibly survive? We're talking about a deficit for this year, ending the 30th of September, of $1.82 trillion. This is what they're acknowledging now. It may even be more than that. I mean, how long can we continue hemorrhaging funds before we go the same way that ancient Greece or ancient Rome or so many other countries have gone?
And you see, if we give in to Iran and we unfreeze their billions that are in European and American banks, we let them pump more oil, we drop the economic sanctions, which, by the way, are working, they will have more resources to build a Shia arc that would go from Iraq to Iran down into Lebanon. They would have more money to give to Hezbollah for both charitable housing and military operations against Israel. So I don't see what the logic is of dropping sanctions against Iran. The other thing is, I don't see the logic of what looks like the United States could be in a position to abandon Israel on certain issues, either the two-state solution or not giving them aid or not permitting them to attack Iran. So you've got all those large amounts of money that are going to be going in. Even if we don't attack Iran or to let the Israelis go, it's still going to cost us billions of dollars to pay both the Palestinians and the Israelis for a peace. The United States is on the mark for, we're on the hook, so to speak, for guaranteeing both the Palestinians and the Israelis a peace process, which will cost billions and billions of dollars. So whether we have war or not, the Mideast is going to continue to drain us. We've got Afghanistan and Central Asia that's going to be draining us. We have more and more troops going to Afghanistan. I think it's a big mistake. We're spending more on technology, drones. We're sending tremendous numbers of young people through special forces camps, and it's costing a lot of money. Now, the odd man out here...
Hold that thought, John. We'll be back in just a moment. Our guest, John Quirk, talking about what's really going on. Well, you go right ahead.
Well, I think it's important that we watch what happens in North Korea. One school of thought says that it's all going to work out, and it's brinkmanship on the part of the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And something that was very, very correct, and that is he'd pulled the American troops south of Seoul. Now, I think most people don't understand, but Seoul is almost on the border, very, very close to the border. And if there was ever an attack and our troops were in Seoul, they would just get wiped out immediately or all taken captive. So how far back have they pulled the American troops in anticipation that they certainly would want to, you know, have them back far enough they would not be in the very front lines?
They're about 200 miles back, and that would give us enough of a defensive position, just like we did in the Korean War, to bring more troops over if we had to from Japan. The problem with what's happening in North Korea is both Korea and Japan are very worried about the constant development of missiles that North Korea is doing without any hope of negotiating. Now, The North Koreans have traditionally used these tactics to get us back to the bargaining table. It's a form of extortion and threats. And not many people know really what goes on with North Korea or their mindset. There could be a military takeover. There could be problems with succession. They may want to attack South Korea and then try to work out a peace settlement, with everybody panicking about the possible use of nuclear weapons. The key to solving that problem is really Russia and China. And Russia traditionally, the Soviet Union, started the Korean War. It's very well documented now that Stalin started a covert action which launched the Korean War against the United States. The Russians have been traditionally very supportive of the North Koreans. The Chinese have gone back and forth. The key to solving that problem is China, because if there's a war, the Chinese economy could take a nosedive, Japan would take a nosedive, the U.S. economy would go bad. No one knows if the Chinese would then start calling our markers on all the T-bills and loans they've given us. So it's up to China to control North Korea, and they can do it.
Well,
there's starting to be some signs that the Chinese are doing this.
Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me is that I don't think there's any way that an underdeveloped country like North Korea could either develop a nuclear weapon or, you know, these very sophisticated missiles that they have without the full help and support of either China or Russia or perhaps both countries. And, you know, suddenly it would almost appear that North Korea is a proxy for China. You know, China can't really go out and start threatening people. They're dependent upon international trade, but certainly they could finance North Korea to do that. How in the world would North Korea have been able to actually develop a sophisticated nuclear weapon or certainly develop that nuclear technology and the targeting without the full help and support of Communist China?
Well, there's three countries, you're right, there's three countries that have helped the North Korean program: Russia, China, and Pakistan. Pakistan, in the development of centrifuges and weapons-grade uranium, Russia in the development of triggering devices, and China have been very, very quiet, but they've given them a lot of tubes and structural facilities, as well as Chinese experts on nuclear energy. So all of them are complicit in that, and it's quite evident if you look at UN sanctions, the Chinese and the Russians always block harsh sanctions against North Korea. They say, no, we have to negotiate and so on. This is the time that they should be turning the screws on North Korea because they're so irrational. I mean, we had a deal with them after 6 years of Ambassador Cox negotiating during the Bush administration. We took them off the terrorist list. We gave them millions in dollars, we gave them millions in fuel, and we gave them millions in food, tremendous amounts of aid, and we pressured a lot of European countries to give them aid, and they got rice and so on. And then at the last minute, they completely reneged overnight. They started testing missiles. They did one or two underground nuclear tests. They probably already have a couple warheads. And they don't, they, you know, the experts and the people on the, in the media, and I think they're 100% wrong, say that North Korea believes that the United States is going to invade them like we did with Saddam Hussein. And that they're such a hermit kingdom and so paranoid, that's the reason. I don't think that's the reason at all. I think that what they're doing is developing an extortion tactic that they've used for 30 years to get us back to the negotiating table to get more food, fuel, and money, which would...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
...to their regime.
This is Dr. Stan, our guest is John Quirk, and we're just discussing really what's going on in North Korea. And, Chris, you know, the thing is that we've given North Korea a tremendous amount of humanitarian aid. Maybe if we just quit giving these countries humanitarian aid, countries like Zimbabwe and like North Korea and so many others we're giving humanitarian aid to, why these governments would crumble, you know, from within. We seem to be giving them the food and the money and the support and medical supplies that they need to keep the tyranny going, but of course the food is not getting to the people are starving to death, but the military and the police that maintain that administration, certainly in North Korea, are very well fed. So don't you think maybe our policies are promoting a lot of the tragedies in the world?
Yeah, our policies go back and forth with whether there's a Democrat or Republican administration. For instance, with Iran, the economic sanctions are working. We are squeezing them. They are having great difficulties, and their population is starting to get somewhat restless. In terms of Cuba, economic sanctions don't work because Europe and Sweden and Switzerland and France and even our neighbor Canada give them billions of dollars. The sanctions against Cuba just don't work. We ought to drop them and let them see what America's all about, and that would undermine Castro, Venezuela, and the Russians. But our policies are inconsistent. The big danger to watch over the next month, you know, there's going to be a lot of jabbering in the Security Council. There's going to be moves by the Chinese to control the North Koreans. That's not going to work. The big problem is that if United States warships start intercepting Korean ships, there could be a flashpoint for war or some type of military action. And all of a sudden, that whole part of the world could explode. While we're focusing, we think the Middle East is going to explode, or Iran or Afghanistan are going to explode, it could explode on the Korean Peninsula. And the only thing that North Korea has done in our favor, it has made Japan, Korea, and the United States.
Hold that thought, John. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, John Quirk was just saying that certainly what North Korea has done is to at least unite certainly the countries in that area. Certainly South Korea and Japan picked up the story there, what you were saying.
Well, the United States, Korea, and our allies in the area, Australia, even, you know, some of the other Asian countries, Vietnam and so on, have agreed with the United States that North Korea should not behave the way they do, launching and testing missiles and going back to developing nuclear weapons. The Russians, I think, are very nefarious. I think they would like to see a lot of trouble for the Americans. I can't believe the Chinese would want that, because we are so interlocked economically with the Chinese. Any kind of war on that peninsula would damage Japan and Korea's economy. The stock markets would collapse all over Asia. China would be in very serious trouble. The United States would be, but we'd be much better off than China, Korea, or Japan. And so it's up to the Chinese, who have a large diplomatic relationship. Now, the North Koreans, and this is typical extortion, they are hoping that the trial of these two Korean-American journalists is going to force the United States to give in. And I don't think Mr. Obama will. I don't think Mrs. Clinton will. I think that the one unifying feature of Obama's national security policy that I see, in all agreement with the Pentagon, CIA, and State Department, is that we can't give in to North Korea because they just don't behave like a normal country. They don't even behave like a normal communist country. So, but I do think it's a big mistake that we start intercepting their ships. I think that could be a cause for North Korea to start military action.
Well, because North Korea is certainly not going to attack the United States, and North Korea, I think their leaders would not be insane enough to attack South Korea. So what would they do if we were to intercept their ships, you know? Would they say, well, we're going to fire on the United States Navy? I mean, this would certainly like, you know, be an ant, you know, trying to defeat an elephant. I mean, we are the most powerful nation in the world, and certainly it would be very easy with one or two nuclear bombs simply to destroy the whole entire infrastructure of North Korea. So logic tells you that this is all bravado.
Well, it's bravado, but remember they also years ago captured the Pueblo and made us pay millions of dollars and made us lose faith in terms of Orientals and hurt us and damaged our reputation.
That was because our leaders did not do what was logical and say, you give us those men back or sayonara, you know. It was a defect in American foreign policy to cave into them and, of course, then to threaten the members of the Pueblo crew. If they went public and ever told how badly they were treated, everything was done to protect North Korea and, of course, to abandon our military men that, you know, we eventually got them back after they'd been horribly mistreated. And I certainly had one of them stay with me for a time over a weekend. He told me he was threatened by the United States Navy if he ever told what really happened. So, I mean, until we have an open society where we let our servicemen tell what's really going on, why, Chris, but they didn't want the American people to know what happened.
Well, it's the same thing about the Liberty. When the Israelis attacked the Liberty ship and strafed our ship five or six times and killed about 29 soldiers, and took them years to even apologize, let alone pay reparations. And it all has to do with our foreign policy. Mr. Johnson, when the Liberty was attacked by the Israeli military, was afraid of bad relations with Israel. He needed Israel for, you know, both a democracy and a military in the Mideast, and didn't want to offend, you know, the Jewish lobby in this country. So you're absolutely right. But the North Koreans have a lot of tricks up their sleeves. They could launch special forces attacks and kidnap people, which they've done before, both in Japan and Korea. They could attack one of our ships or capture it in the hostage. They have a lot of hostages now, which a lot of people don't know, South Koreans that have been working over there. They refuse to take them back. So the other problem is the current leader of Korea looks very ill. And there could be a move by the military to stay in power, not be pro-U.S. at all, but to keep the whole problem between the United States and North Korea going to keep their population quiet. Nothing, it's a basic tenet of foreign policy, nothing unites a country like an outside aggressor. And North Korea constantly tells the people that America is an aggressor. And we have a recent example, they say, of the United States going into Iraq, airlifting a huge military, and removing Saddam Hussein. So they may be a little paranoid about that, but I basically think North Korean foreign policy is based on extortion, and the way they get their way is getting us back to the negotiating table. And I don't think Mr. Obama in this particular case is going to give in. I don't think he's going to give in. I think he's going to try to put a blockade, more sanctions, and possibly a blockade around North Korea.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Venezuela, because I know you have, your wife comes from there. You have a lot of friends in Venezuela. And Hugo Chavez and certainly Morales there in Bolivia are really becoming increasingly aggressive, Morales especially there. Apparently they have been really, of course, beginning to seize property, private property. Apparently there was some question that there might be an effort to overthrow the existing government. They just went in and killed the people who were involved, and suddenly Chavez is beginning to nationalize property. What's going to happen in that area as they begin to take over the oil, certainly in Venezuela, while they're beginning to take over the oil production facilities? And, of course, Venezuela can't keep those things running. If they throw the foreigners out, why, pretty soon the oil production in Venezuela is going to begin to contract. But certainly, We know that Chavez has been giving away fantastic amounts of money. Unfortunately, because of the low price of oil, he's not able to be as aggressive as he was. But give us your interpretation of what's happening there with Venezuela and Bolivia.
There's a couple things happening. One, Global Vision, which is the last pro-Venezuelan anti-Chavez station, Chavez is trying to shut down. And the OAS and the United Nations and other organizations are protesting that he's trying to completely curb the free press. But because oil production is down, there's lots of rumors going around that there's elements of the Venezuelan military that may be staging a coup sometime after June 7th. There's a lot of espionage going on in Trinidad with opposition groups, Cubans, Americans, and so on and so forth. But here's the big danger, what Chavez is doing with his money. He spent tremendous amounts of money, as you mentioned, in funding left-wing governments in Bolivia, Ecuador, El Salvador, Nicaragua. He's putting a lot of money into Panama, tremendous amounts of money in Peru. But the area that he sees is the big weakness of America is Mexico. And if you remember, the left-wing political party, almost won the election. It was a contested election. The last Mexican election 2 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago. Now, Chavez is pouring millions and millions of dollars into the left in Mexico, hoping that they become elected. He's putting money into printing presses, propaganda, radio stations. He's giving a lot of the poor, trying to organize them with various Cuban and Venezuelan cadres, like he did in giving help in Bolivia and Ecuador. He's going to the grassroots. He's reaching out through the Internet. He's funding all of that. Even though Venezuela is running out of money, they don't have enough money to pay all their military, and these military people were making millions of dollars to support him, and they're not getting their money, and they're very angry, even though they have all their yachts and airplanes and four or five houses in Miami and other places of Florida. They're getting very unhappy with him. So Chavez, he doesn't care. He's going to continue to fund the Bolivarian movements worldwide and his new multi-billion dollar radio station in Latin America, which is anti-American and impacting. But the key to what his future is, if he can get a left-wing government in Mexico, that will seriously damage the United States. So even though he has a downturn in oil, and the Russians are squeezing him, the Chinese want more and more oil, and they don't pay like the United States does, he still managed, because he's a dictator, to control the population. And the opposition groups, there's many now in Venezuela, but they're very weak and penetrated by Cuban intelligence.
Well, now, what about his relationship, Chavez's relationship with Fidel Castro?
It's very solid. I mean, it's very good. He continues to ship about 60,000 barrels of oil a day. They're finishing a major refinery, which is a co-partnership with Spain, Venezuela, and Cuba. He still gives them, he's reduced some of the money that he gives them, but he still ships them a lot of oil. The Cuban doctors are all over Venezuela until they stay there a while and then defect. But the Cubans run Mr. Chavez's bodyguards, political campaigns, his military, and his counterintelligence service, and it's locked on. I mean, crime is at an all-time high in Venezuela. There's no food in the stores. He regulates and rationalizes food like there's some kind of war going on. Crime is very bad. He is running out of money, and it's estimated that unemployment is 20 to 25%. But he doesn't care because he's driven out the entire middle class. The only people left in Venezuela are the very, very poor and the very, very rich. But the middle class has fled all over the world, and that's middle class always starts a revolution. So it's unlikely he would be overthrown by an opposition group. He would be more likely to be overthrown by the Venezuelan military. Well, and these are rumors that constantly persist.
All right, fine. So, why would the people of great wealth stay there? Why wouldn't they just pick up and leave and say, hey, we're not going to put up with this? They could take their wealth. Can they get their wealth out, or do they have some sort of exchange controls?
No, there's tremendous exchange controls, but if you bribe the right people in the government, you can live and make money. There's casinos there that are booming. Real estate is extremely expensive. The malls are very, very busy. I mean, the military and Chavistas are the ones that are spending the money. They're the rich people now. They have the money. They have the big houses. They have the cars and so on and so forth. So they're the ones that make up the wealthy class now. The other people have basically collaborated with the government. They supply them with, you know, cars and televisions and consumer goods, but it goes mainly to the Chavistas. So there's still a booming economy, but for a very small group of people on the top, just like it was in Soviet Russia.
Well, that's exactly what communism really is. You know, you talk about this idea of redistribution of the wealth, but what you really end up with is a ruling class and everybody else impoverished. What about the election then? Will the poor people support Chavez and he'll get, I understood that he did pretty well in the last election.
Yes, and he's going to win this election and change the laws. He continues to dismantle democracy, change the laws regarding the Supreme Court. He's going to be president for life. He's passing all these new legislations, which the parliament in Venezuela, who are all Chavistas, immediately support him. So it's going to be a complete dictatorship, probably over the next 2 to 3 years if he stays in power. And he eventually will shut the borders off. Right now, the total amount of money an individual can use on his credit card is $250. And he's doing that stop Venezuelans traveling around the world and traveling to Miami. And even on $250, you cannot, you know, get a decent airfare in a hotel or go to Disneyland like the Venezuelans have done for many years. So there's currency controls. When you go to apply to get your money out of a bank, there's about 20 to 30 forms. If he has roles. If he finds out that you voted against him, you won't get the money. He's fired people that were against him. So it's a total dictatorship almost, with Chavistas running the government and harassing Venezuelans that are against him.
Well, do you think that the CIA or our intelligence agencies are doing anything to try to overthrow Chavez?
I know for a fact that the CIA is not doing that, even though people may think they are. It is against the law to overthrow a democratically elected government. We can't do that anymore. I wish we could in some circumstances, but we can't. This is the problem with Hezbollah and Hamas as well. They're democratically elected. And it's the same thing with Israel. But no, the CIA is forbidden under executive order to overthrow a democratically elected government. Now, the United States can give money to the opposition political parties, but a lot of that is a waste because it's a waste of American taxpayers' dollars, because the Cubans know everything that the opposition parties are doing. They have a lot of informants and assets within these opposition parties, so they know what's going on. So if he is not overthrown or assassinated in the next few years, it will be a country full of oil and a complete dictatorship.
But, of course, can, without the support of foreign oil companies, can they continue to operate their oil wells?
Well, this is the big problem that Chavez has done. He's such an ignorant person when it comes to oil. He's spent all the Venezuelans' money. And the average Venezuelan in the street now is getting very, very angry because he's given so much money. He's given money to, you know, Robert Kennedy's son's fuel project in Massachusetts, 500 Bolivarian movements. He gives money to Leon Panetta's daughter, who runs a anti-School of the Americas group. As you said, he's funded Bolivia, Ecuador, El Salvador, Nicaragua. He's funding other political parties. We caught him giving money to the left-wing government in Argentina, and three Venezuelan spies are in jail now in Miami. So he's running out of money. The big mistake that he's made is selling oil to China, because the Chinese take a long time to pay their bills, sometimes a year, but they've guaranteed they'll buy the oil. So this is a case where he's almost cut off his nose despite his face. The Americans, we take about 14% of his oil, but we always pay on the money. And talk about foreign policy, I would have liked to have seen us completely stay away from Venezuelan oil. Don't give them any money, and we'll get our oil somewhere else. But we don't do that.
No, we don't do that. We don't develop our own oil facilities here, and we have to ask ourselves why. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest has been John Quirk, who really is a fascinating source of information. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, John, we've got 3 minutes, but I want to ask you, what's the CIA's opinion of Leon Panetta? Here's a person who's never had anything to do with intelligence, you know, who's now, of course, running the CIA. I can't remember any precedent of anybody.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
to talk to you.
My pleasure. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, and I hope you listeners out there did enjoy our conversation with John Quirk, a source of information you're not going to get elsewhere. John worked with the CIA. We've checked out his background. We know people in intelligence who confirm he was an operative for many, many years, and now he travels throughout the world regularly. A wonderful, wonderful source of information you're not going to get from your regular newspaper. Well, Anderson, his views may differ slightly from mine. I don't think he recognizes the spiritual forces that are working behind the scenes, but we want information. We need all the information we can get, and I enjoy having John Quirk. I hope you do as well. Well, this is the time I want to mention we've got our talk. It's called The Financial Armageddon. It will explain to you how they created the whole current financial collapse. Now, there's a very important syllabus that comes with this, and we suggest you get that. It's got the speech given in 1932 by Congressman McFadden, the speech given in 64 by Wright Patman, and, of course, it's got my newsletters in it. It's got the information from the Congressional Oversight Panel. It even has the letter that President Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House back in 1933, talking about the fact that the financial elements in the large centers have controlled the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. And we're going to see a replay of that battle between the banks and Andrew Jackson at this time, only much, much more severe than ever before. Information you're not going to get elsewhere, an analysis of who really controls the Fed from the House Banking Committee, information which you need to have to understand what's going on. But, of course, you need to go over our past newsletters, November, December, January, February, March. They're all in the syllabus, and you get that along with the DVD. We recommend you get this information, which you're not going to get elsewhere. The whole thing was contrived. Why? Because they want a world government. They plunged the whole world into chaos, and, of course, millions more are going to lose their jobs, their homes, their hope, and they're going to create a chaotic situation here and throughout the world. And the alternative to chaos will be the New World Order. Well, our talk, Financial Chaos, I recommend it to you. Financial Armageddon, I should say, I recommend it to you. And then, of course, our four-tape set on the Deadly Assassins, where you'll actually hear me interviewing people who were trained as assassins by the Central Intelligence Agency and hear their stories. And then, of course, we have the DVDs on the Secret Mysteries, the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, and then, of course, the Eye of the Phoenix. We're going to have Chris Pinto with us Friday, who actually produced all of those. But you want to get them and watch them. They're very professionally done. And they will explain to you about the secret societies. There really are secret societies out there. And they're working at the highest level of our government today. The objective, the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation and the establishment of a one world government. But they can't let the American people understand what's going on. So those DVDs, of course, the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, we recommend. The DVD on the Operation Monarch, the mind control programs that they have, that actually you're constantly being manipulated. Every time you turn on the television, why, there's a message there. you don't understand what's really going on, unless maybe you look at the right lower quadrant of the screen for CBS and you see the eye there. That is a symbol, an ancient a mystic symbol, just like the eye on the back of the dollar bill in the glorified triangle. And understand, they hide their emblems in plain sight. You need to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness and, of course, on the Forbidden Secret, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And nobody's going to tell you, but we'll tell you. In the DVD, The Forbidden Secret and the syllabus, Please Pray for America, our number 1-800-544-8927.
From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you listen to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Fletcher. And Bob has been on the front lines of this battle for many years. He actually ran a toy company, and he was doing very well in that. Somebody came along and wanted Chris to put money into this and help him circulate the toys. And you know, it sounded like a wonderful deal. He could expand production. He didn't realize, of course, that the man was with the Central Intelligence Agency, and he was being roped into part of the smuggling operation of the Iran-Contra operation. And, well, of course, it didn't end very, very well for him. But Bob has been, of course, investigating the things that are going on ever since then. A fascinating source of information. Bob has put together a number of videos. We each have a talent. I mean, I don't have a talent for putting together videos. Bob does. He's done a wonderful job, and we carry his DVDs on the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Sonny Bono and weather modification. And there's certainly so many of the government programs and things that have gone on. Information that you really need to have, and they are available through Radio Liberty. But right now we're going to be talking about government secrecy. Everything is secrecy. Oh, we can't let the American people know. They just wouldn't understand. And so, basically, they have all of these secrecy rules dealing with intelligence. Certainly, when Sybil Edmonds, who worked for the FBI, found that the State Department was allowing a secret spy ring to ship nuclear technology to Pakistan. Did you ever wonder how Pakistan, a third-rate country like that, could develop a nuclear weapon or North Korea would? Well, of course, the State Department allowed the technology to be sent. And when Sybil Edmonds tried to tell that story, why, she was slapped with a state secret barrier. They told her to put her in jail. If she ever told the truth about what happened, she appealed this all the way to the Supreme Court. Oh, no, we couldn't let the American people know that our State Department, which talks about doing everything they can to try to stop the dissemination of nuclear weapons, was actually allowing the dissemination of information on nuclear weapons, and so the Pakistani could build the nuclear weapons, and so the Iranians and the North Koreans could. But you're never going to hear this story in the United States. She eventually went to London, told the London Times the story. It appeared throughout the world. You can find it in my January 2008 newsletter. But you'll never see this in a newspaper in America, because we have freedom of the press. That means that people who own the press have the freedom to suppress whatever they want to. They do, because almost every major means of communication is controlled by a member of what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, with that as background, Bob Fletcher, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Good. Thank you, Stan. It's good to be back on.
All right. Now, you pick up the story from there, because, of course, you've been on the receiving end of this whole effort to suppress information. Most people have never heard your story if they haven't heard you on my program or similar programs, but you go ahead.
Well, of course, like you said, I had been kind of popped in the middle of this several years ago. I had no desire to get in the middle of covert operations, but I sure did, and it was not a doing of myself. It was put upon me by what I thought to be a standard business merger. But when you talk about the and I ended up being involved, being a federal witness and being involved with investigations with and on the behalf of some of the Senate and Congress, some of the congressional inquiries that have taken place over the last 25, 30 years. And the bottom line, which you talk about on a regular
basis. Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Bob.
The bottom line that you talk about on a regular basis is, of course, just secrecy in government and powers to be having the ability to keep things quiet and carry on spending our own tax money on extraordinary weapons projects and things that are kept totally secret, which includes, of course, most recent expose of spying on Americans themselves and spending huge amounts of money to do that. And of course, periodically, things do get close to surfacing, but never in their entirety. And what always makes me laugh is when I watch a Senate or a congressional hearing, and they request the Central Intelligence to investigate themselves and to report back to the Senate or the Congress, which is absolutely funny. I mean, it's not. Not that it's unusual or rare, but it's extraordinarily humorous, the idea that the CIA would ever come back to the Senate and say, yes, we have investigated ourselves and we've been doing terrible things, and would tell anybody what all those were. And they include, like, back in 1995, there was a fairly good congressional hearing and expose at that time on the fact that the Iraqis, that Saddam Hussein had been shipped from the United States everything that he needed for his biological and chemical weapons that they later on, a few years earlier, prior to 95 and 91, 92, had gone in and of course, chased him for that, tracked him down, and of course there was that big debate, did he really have weapons, etc. And of course there's actually live footage of huge bunkers the size of football fields that we actually had discovered and had blown up, and they were filled with chemical and biological weapons, and of course the primary laboratories had received the initial biological raw materials to create these weapons, and they had gotten it directly, actually had been sold by the United States government to Saddam Hussein, and in huge quantities, enough to generate all the chemical and biological weapons.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Bob was simply talking about the secrecy that we have, that certainly we knew that the United States government had sold Saddam Hussein the material that he used to create his biological and chemical weapons. He had large stores of this. Of course, a lot of these we found when we went into your free Kuwait. You know, oh my goodness, we've got to bring democracy to Kuwait. A terrible. Well, so we reinstalled the dictatorship that had always existed there. There was never any democracy in Kuwait. There wasn't before. There's not now. We just reinstalled a dictator there. But of course, it was the one that we put in power. But we chased Saddam Hussein out. And then we found these massive bunkers just full of chemical and biological agents. Now, what do you do when you find them? Do you burn them, you know, to destroy them? No, you blow them up and you contaminate our own troops, which is exactly what they did. And really, 50,000, you know, of our troops were actually contaminated with gas, nerve gas, and they knew exactly what they were doing. They just don't want the American people to know. But you go right ahead, Bob.
Well, and you're right, and they did blow these huge, particularly the location was Kamisiyah in Iraq, and they had blown up tons and tons of these biological and chemical weapons, and some of them were just there and in the bunkers, and they did contaminate thousands of our troops. Now, I can tell you a personal story that I don't believe you even are aware of, Stan, but at that time, in the 90s, my son was in the Marines, and he was a Marine down in California, and he was in charge of the stores, which basically just the warehousing of goods coming in and out, and it pretty much covered everything in terms of hard goods like weapons, etc., and then also things like clothing and the distribution of all of those materials. And right 2 years or within a year or so of them blowing up and exposing all of the splattering, literally chemical and biological debris all over our soldiers, they returned these products, these goods, the weapons and the fabrics and the tents and all of those things, the clothing, etc. A good deal of it is returned to the United States. It's then either washed and reprocessed, some of it put back into active duty with our soldiers. And some of it, of course, is sold into, the stores, the surplus stores that would resell goods to campers in the United States, like tents and sleeping bags and things. And my son, I received a call around 1996. I was in another part of the country at the time, actually doing a speaking engagement, and I got this emergency call that my son was deathly ill in the hospital, and he was bleeding internally, etc., etc., and he just all of a sudden had become extraordinarily ill. And of course I rushed back to California and went to the hospital there where he was, and lo and behold, he had come down with histoplasmosis. Well, histoplasmosis is like there's only two places that it would be commonly found. One would be if you were a person that frequented bats caves under the ground where bats would live, and you could get the disease that way, which my son had nothing to do with that. Or you could get it as one of the items that Hussein literally had developed in Iraq. But my son had never been to Iraq. So the question was, how does a healthy Marine, as a matter of fact, he was a weightlifter and a special operative, a marksman. So he was in extremely good physical condition. And how does a guy come down with that all of a sudden? Well, there was an extraordinary good book that was written around the same period of time, and I believe it was titled Bringing the War Home. And I think you have probably interviewed one or two of the authors of that. One of the fellows has passed away, but a couple of active patriots had written that book. And basically the book described how, in fact, these contaminated goods, gas masks, sleeping bags, tents, weapons, tanks, even vehicles, were contaminated in Iraq. they were brought back to the United States and being redistributed, literally by my son, out of the marine stores and their storage area in California at the marine center, the marine base. And these things were being, the contaminated goods were coming back and were contaminating our soldiers. And God knows how many other people that had become ill in 95, 96, 97, in that period of time, all over the country because of actually purchasing goods at these surplus stores. And turned out that my son lived, but almost did not live, almost didn't make it, had to have one entire lung removed, et cetera, with extraordinary surgical procedures, you know, almost cutting him in half to remove his lung. And it was from this histoplasmosis that he literally had gotten from handling the goods that had been shipped back to the United States from Iraq. And when I asked him about any of his other fellows that worked with him there, if any of the other guys had become ill, he finally realized that a close friend of his that worked with him in the stores had had a baby. His wife had had a baby, and the baby had been born totally deformed in an extraordinary, you know, manner, and that these deformities were also a byproduct of the infections that our own servicemen and other people were getting from the goods that were being returned from Iraq. And, of course, this is and like I say, there was one entire book written titled Bringing the War Home, and anybody's interested in follow-up, you could get that book. It is available, and it's pretty shocking. And, of course, this was one of the big secrets that had been kept from everybody. Nobody ever talks about it. They never talk about blowing up and spreading these diseases. They never talk about the amount of the weapons and the biological, like you say, the initial products that from which they are able to develop these chemical and biological weapons. So it's really amazing. Now, we had also, like the anthrax business. Remember when they were mailing anthrax? Somebody was mailing anthrax to certain people around the country, and there was this big scare, and they pushed people to take this particular unproven protective immunization shot from supposedly to protect them from anthrax. And 9% of the citizens that at the post offices and other locations where they were obligated to take these shots to protect them from this anthrax that was being mailed around, 9% of the people that took that had ended up having brain problems, actually brain damage from the immunization that they were being forced to take.
Well, they were just using our boys as human guinea pigs. That's the tragedy.
Sure.
And it wasn't safe, and we did a lot at that time to try to get the information out. And, of course, most people really don't understand.
And, they, and of course, another one of the secrets that they kept was the development of what really was the AIDS virus. And the AIDS virus back in that we discovered in the 90s that I'm trying to recall the exact date, but Dr. MacArthur had spoke before the Congress and the Senate.
And it was in 1969,
I believe that's right. And he said that he could develop a disease that would, in fact, destroy the immunity system, which is, of course, what the HIV/AIDS does. And he had, at that time, that it didn't exist. He requested $10 million. He was given the $10 million. He did go ahead and develop whatever he was planning to work on, and within a couple of years, we had the first problems with the HIV and AIDS virus.
You know, it was really very interesting. It was some years ago that one afternoon why somebody faxed me the entire report, in other words, the entire testimony of Dr. MacArthur that day.
Right.
Somebody faxed it to Joyce Riley at the same time. In other words, people in government wanted the public to know that Dr. MacArthur asked for $10 million so that they could create a new disease for mass killing. Those were his words. New disease for mass killing. And, of course, they appropriated the money, and 10 years later we had the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. And so there's no question what they were doing, but the average American has never heard that. We do actually offer the complete text of his testimony, Dr. David MacArthur, 1969, before the House Military Appropriations Committee. So go right ahead, Bob.
That's right. As a matter of fact, the group that I was with at that time, we were one of the very first that actually got those copies of that and distributed that to Joyce and a few other people, spoke quite a bit about that. The real, and again, just hitting on miscellaneous, let's say cover-ups and lies, etc. Richard Nixon, as president in 1969, at the same time that they were doing these approvals of funding for Dr. MacArthur, he went in and he fraudulently went public and told everyone that Fort Detrick was going to discontinue all of their chemical and biological weapon research, and they made a big deal out of it, and etc. And
hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Go right ahead, Bob.
That public presentation that President Nixon did at that time in 69.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Why would you, send him the biological and chemical fundamentals, the things that you'd need to increase chemical and biological warfare? I actually talked to a former Special Forces man who was actually assigned to Saddam Hussein's military when they were using the poison gas on the Iranians, and they killed about 1 million Iranians. You never hear about that. Why would our Special Forces be over there helping Saddam Hussein use poison gas in violation of all the laws of warfare on the poor Iranian troops? Most of them were just kids. Go right ahead.
Well, and what they had done by mixing their some of their chemical weapons with biological is let's say if it was in a gas or a powder or whatever, a liquid form, and splattered about or sprayed or bombed, a bomb dropped in an area and spraying this around, what it does is it would deteriorate the chemical part of the weapon, would do a deterioration very rapidly on gas mask, on their filters, and on the rubber and the poly material that they are made out of, and it would deteriorate them sufficiently so that the biological part would, if somebody was in the area, even if they had a gas mask, the gas mask would not protect them, or the protective clothing would not work because it would deteriorate the poly material that actually was made out of. So it was a manner by which the let's say a powder or whatever it might be is delivered and then deteriorates the protective clothing and a person becomes infected. So it's putting on the gas mask or the outfit would not protect a soldier. Now, another thing that's been kept very quiet lately is the fact that, as we know, the North Koreans have been testing and openly testing nuclear weapons. And back in 2007, there was an expose that, in fact, the military was in North Korea were doing research and development on chemical and biological weapons of their own. And that's been kept rather under wraps. And, of course, what we have over there is a leader who is presently dying. He's probably going to pass his leadership on to his son, who, by the way, is only 26 years old, 27 years old, probably as undeveloped and immature or mentally unstable as his father, who, this is just not only my opinion, but of course kind of pretty much a proven situation. And we're going to have these guys over there with chemical and biological and nuclear weapons, and now they have missiles that they can deliver these weapons 1,500 to 1,200 miles away. And this, again, is one of these things that we have to really be watching. We do worry. I always worry about the fact that some of these terrorist events, et cetera, that they scare us with are not real, and I'm sure that that's the case.
And the other thing is, of course, that North Korea never could have built those weapons without the full help and support of either Communist China or Communist Russia or both of them. And we never talk about that. I mean, how would a third-rate country like North Korea that can't even feed its own people be able to develop sophisticated intercontinental ballistic missiles with targeting devices and sophisticated nuclear weapons? They had to have help. We helped the communists, and the communists helped North Korea, and then we wonder why the North Koreans have these weapons of mass destruction. Go right ahead.
And then, of course, also, and for many years, we've been going in with the NSA, National Security Agents, and Central Intelligence operatives, going into all of these little nooks and crannies and supplying weapons of all sorts. And it's inevitable, it almost always happens, that within a couple of years of delivering these weapons, that they are turned against our own guys, and we end up trying to fight back on some of the very weapons that we delivered to all these second and third world nations.
Well, I think even more than that, of course, anybody who's really studied our relationship with North Korea has known that we've been funneling massive amounts of food, and certainly of oil and other products into North Korea. And we've done this for years, saying, oh, well, they've changed their attitude now. They're really good guys. How could our leaders be that stupid unintentionally? We've kept them in power. Dr. Stan back here, and Bob, I was just looked up on Amazon for that book, Bringing the War Home, and you'd never guess. They don't have any copies of it. I just wonder how that happened.
I
happen to have a copy. It was written by Will Thomas, and if that's a copy, but it was about the Gulf War and about, of course, bringing the war home. But, of course, the rest of the information was totally suppressed, and now all of the copies of the book, there's just not even a used copy up on Amazon. I wonder who bought all those copies. Go right ahead.
And that's really amazing. And they get away with doing that. As you know, and I know, they really do. Somebody comes out with a good book like that cuts really to the chase, and they end up disappearing from the marketplace. That's a pretty big project when you think about it. The fact that there's not even any used ones available, that's really amazing.
Well, you know, I did an analysis recently. It was back in 1972 that a friend of mine named Gary Allen wrote a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. He sold 7 million paperback copies of the book.
Right.
And for years, of course, you could pick those paperback books up at used bookstores all across America, you know, 10, 20 cents each. But as time went by, they sort of began disappearing. And recently, when I was writing one of my newsletters, I thought, I'm going to check out the local bookstores and see if they have any one of the 7 million copies of the paperback edition of None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Now, you can get the hardback copy up on Amazon, which has been brought out recently by some of the people who were involved with Gary. But the original 7 million copies, and apparently they've almost all disappeared. We actually have them, but the new paperback issues, somebody bought a large supply, and we offer them to our ministry. But those 7 million used copies of the book have suddenly just disappeared from used bookstores. At least I couldn't find one. I had several bookstores here in Santa Cruz, and I haven't seen them when I've been in used bookstores. I wonder what happened to those 7 million copies.
And that book, by the way, those of you that are patriotically oriented, that are listening to the show, that book is like the original Bible. It's like one of the very first few, one of the earliest serious exposés on potential of the one world government. The idea that very high level elite persons worldwide had merged together and had started to move forward with one world government.
Hold on, Bob. We'll be right back here. Well, I guess, of course, is Bob Fletcher. We were just talking about the book, Nundare Call It Conspiracy, written in 1972 by Gary Allen. 7 million copies went out. They were in used bookstores for many years, and they've just sort of all disappeared, although we do carry the book, and we have the paperback edition. If you go out to a used bookstore, and at least the several that I contacted, they said, oh, we just don't have any of those anymore. So what happened to those 7 million copies? That's one of the best-selling books of all time, and most of the copies have just disappeared, and you have to ask yourself, how did that happen? Go right ahead, Bob.
Yes, sir, and you, and that literally, as I was saying, is like the Bible for the original expose of the potential of world government and the corruption and the manner by which world government has been slowly taking place. I crossed paths with that book myself probably 25 years ago, I guess now, at least 20 years ago, and I was amazed that things that I had discovered having nothing to do with the book, and then to find that somebody a couple years earlier had already done such a good expose of that. It certainly is something. If you the listeners have not read that at all, you need to try and find that someplace. Maybe you can get it in a library, but I think
we can get it from our ministry.
You have it.
We carry it. Right. Somebody had a whole flock of cases of the book. There are people who deal in suppressed books, and we actually get our books from them. And so
yeah,
we do have it. But you go out and try to go to a used bookstore, and if you can find one, let me know. I'd appreciate it. I'm just curious to how effective they've been in absorbing all those copies.
Yeah, and again, that is one of several really, really good books, good presentations that have been just completely bought up or whatever. I don't know how they go about doing it, but they sure do disappear. And in that case, there was, like you say, there was millions of them originally printed, and they're pretty much gone. Folks can, of course, get any of my DVDs. You carry them. Stan, you carry them there and make all of my 7 different exposés are available on DVD. Or you, anybody out there who wants to contact us or see what we've been doing, you can go to my website, which is BobFletcherInvestigations.com. That's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. Or you can even put my name in the Google, just Google Bob Fletcher Investigations or Bob Fletcher Conspiracy Inquiries or DVDs on conspiracies, and you'll automatically be switched over to the Bob Fletcher Investigations. And we do a good little synopsis of the different reports that we've been able to put together, and unfortunately we sort of cut to the chase, and they're a little bit upsetting for people that think that their government has been working diligently to take care of the American citizen, and when you find out at how high a level the narcotics and assassinations and these unbelievable conspiracies have taken place for how many years, et cetera, it's a little bit of a shock, I think, to the person that's, new at opening their eyes and realizing that we're not necessarily being told the truth on a regular basis out of Washington. It's interesting to see that the Speaker of the House, Pelosi, is in locked horns battle with the CIA on arguments as to who told what or how much was told to the Speaker of the House back relative to the Guantanamo Bay tortures that the CIA was involved with. See, they've reached a point where the left hand and the right hand up in Washington are telling so many stories and misdirections, and they're lying to the people, the public, so much that now up there, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand told them. They got into conflict themselves about how much they were told and who told what, and who knew how much of this torturing was going on, etc. And it's interesting just to see them locking horns up in Washington and having a conflict of information. And it's that old thing about, you know, once you tell one lie and then you tell two lies, then you end up coming back and you don't remember what lie it was you told. And the press releases between the intelligence agents and the Congress and the Senate, they're not always fall in the same direction because they're both usually pulling our legs.
Well, you know, just Bob, as I analyze this, I realize it's the same old game they always play. You get arguing back and forth. What did the CIA tell Nancy Pelosi? What did Nancy Pelosi end up, you know, learning from the CIA? And so we argue about that instead of saying, look, somebody's responsible for horrible, inhumane, you know, torture. Now, like, oh my goodness, is waterboarding really torture, or is it not really torture? Well, you need to read the Major Taguba report. We actually have it. Major Taguba was asked to investigate Abu Ghraib. He was told if he told the truth, he would be forced to resign. He told the truth. He was forced to resign. But we do have his testimony. We do have his report. And when they start wrapping electrodes around people's testicles and frying them, that would be considered torture. But, you know, what we're doing is arguing, what did they tell Nancy Pelosi? Well, what did the CIA say? What did she hear? And so what they do is they focus our attention talking about the wrong issues. And ladies and gentlemen, you out there in the listening audience, you've got to understand, these are standard techniques. And our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested by the people who control the media, and they're sure not telling us the truth.
Sure,
Major General Taguba's report is must reading. If you can pull it down from the internet, fine. If you want to purchase it from us, fine. But get the information and understand the inhuman things that were done. And believe me, Muslims throughout the world know it. They hate us as a result of it. And it was the best recruiting tool that the Al-Qaeda ever had. We've done everything we could to recruit certainly people into Al-Qaeda, and of course Obama's doing exactly the same thing, saying, oh my goodness, we've got these pictures, they're so horrible, we can't do anything about it, and arguing whether we ought to release them or not, takes us away from the fact that why aren't the people who participated in this torture being tried, and why aren't the people who gave permission for this and who covered it up being tried and sent to prison for life? Certainly anybody, any American who participated in this sort of thing, whether they were ordered to or not, that's no excuse. You have a moral obligation to do what's right, and if you don't do what's right, why you should go to prison. But you see, we're arguing about the wrong things. We don't talk about who did it. Oh, but should we release the pictures or shouldn't we release the pictures? Believe me, the Muslims throughout the world know it's in those pictures. It's just the American people who don't. Go right ahead.
Sure, and you're absolutely right. It's a what happens is it becomes a distraction, pulling our minds away from what we really should be looking at or investigating or trying to correct. And we get into what really is an extraordinarily petty political throwing stones back and forth. And, of course, I don't even believe that's real. I believe it's, the two of them, Nancy Pelosi arguing against the CIA leadership and all that. That's all baloney, I think. And used on a regular basis, like I said quite earlier, the idea of asking the CIA to investigate themselves is so ludicrous. But then you get people that, and including like the hardline military persons that have been doing even an honest, legitimate job in the military on our behalf. And when you talk about the torture, a lot of them say, well, you know, you needed to do this kind of a thing because that's the only way we're going to, get the information that we need to get these people to talk or blow the whistle on an operation that may be planned. You know, but the truth is, in most cases, and you have to, even if you switch it and start thinking of yourself being tortured, which I think is a little difficult for the average guy to do, but if someone's torturing you and they're trying to get a specific any kind of information out of you, you're going to tell them whatever they want to hear. You know, you're not necessarily going to tell them the truth, but whatever it is, it's going to get them to stop carrying out these outrageous torture actions against you. That's what you're going to tell them. And it may or may not be true, and it may or may not have anything to do with reality, but you darn well are going to tell them what they want to hear, so you're not necessarily going to get the real information that you genuinely need. And of course, how do we hold ourselves, which we have done for 100 years, how do we hold ourselves morally above the crowd for the rest of the world? How do we try to be a mentor for good and for freedom and and liberty, etc.? And how do we go about holding ourselves above the crowd when, in fact, we lower ourselves down to doing disgusting medieval kind of torture situation, when, in fact, the rules of war and all absolutely, which always seems a little ludicrous anyhow, but the idea that's been agreed upon by nations for hundreds of years, and some of these things are, of course, that you don't torture a person that you've captured in war. So I don't know.
I tell you what the most ridiculous thing right now is, of course, this so-called debate between Obama and Cheney. And Dick Cheney is saying, oh, we had to torture them to get the information. And Obama is taking the high road. Well, why, my goodness, we're going to preserve our moral values. We're not going to undermine our moral values. We're going to do what's right. And so Obama is looking very, very good in this thing. And I'll have to admit, I agree with everything that Barack Obama is saying. The only trouble is that Dick Cheney came from the Trilateral Commission. There's only 87 of them. They're the most corrupt and wicked people in the world. And the people who put Obama in position of power, you know, the people who now occupy 11 of the key positions in the Obama administration, come from the same corrupt and evil organization, the Trilateral Commission. And whether it's General James Jones or Thomas Dommelin, his assistant, the people, Ross, who's in the State Department, or Holbrooke is in the State Department, the Deputy Secretary of State. There are four of them in key positions of the Secretary of the State Department, along with Hillary Clinton, whose husband was part of the Trilateral Commission. Susan Rice, the Ambassador to the United Nations, Timothy Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury,
right.
They control all of the important things. And what you're seeing is the diversion.
Absolutely.
You argue back and forth. Obama takes the high ground. And the good people say, well, I have to agree with Obama. And you're absolutely right. But when are we going to realize, of course, that this is a totally corrupt and evil man who probably isn't even an American citizen, who was placed where he is today by people of great wealth and great power, because he is charismatic and he's very articulate, and I believe he's really very, very intelligent. And, of course, but they're using him. He's playing his part. Dick Cheney's playing their part. And we are the audience applauding the hero and booing the villain, Dick Cheney. Go ahead.
Right. And that power structure that's so slowly and progressively taken over America and the control of America and the future, that power structure cannot be interrupted at this point in time by any average means, I would say. Maybe an act of the Lord, but the average voter is not going to have much to say in terms of altering that power structure. And to even move into the Senate and the Congress at this point in time, you have to be part of that operation or permit yourself to be controlled by that power structure that we're referring to, or you're just not even going to get far enough. You're not the few people once in a while, like we've referred to Sonny Bono, for example. Sonny got in up there, and a few others have moved in, and when they ended up not going along with what the power structure wanted them to do, or stay away from some investigations that they wanted them to stay away from, then they've had an airplane crash, or they've had some other problem, or something came up and they were either killed or removed or became ill or something. And the those people that are not under control of the power structure that runs this country quietly and secretly as that secret government, those that are not under that control are not, either they're not around very long, they're never reelected, or they become history. They become killed in some way.
Well, Sidney, have you ever been contacted by any of the major media about your investigation of the strange death of Congressman Sonny Bono?
Absolutely not. And what's amazing, for the people that don't know what we're talking about, is I've done a full investigation. I had done an important investigation for Sonny Bono. He had moved forward with it, was about to do a big inquiry on it, a very in-depth, a very serious investigation, and he was murdered. I have done a complete DVD expose on that murder, and that's what Stan's referring to. And in terms of, now it has been delivered. That has been delivered to many senators and congressmen. The complete DVD, My Total Report, which cannot be denied once you see it. And I have not heard from anyone. The major media has all had it. They've all have received it. I have not heard anything. The only people that ever did anything at all was one of the tabloid magazines that did a very good story about a year ago, when I first brought that to everyone's attention. But in terms of major media, nobody.
And it's really a very, very well-done DVD. A lot of thought went into a lot of research. And so if you're interested in hearing about the strange death of Sonny Bono, why, you can give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Bob's got a lot of great reports he's done, but this is certainly one of my favorites. And as Sonny was a man who was trying to do the right thing, he was going to open an investigation on the CIA and drugs, and of course, as soon as he got back from the skiing trip, but he never got back from the skiing trip. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up tonight's program with Bob Fletcher. Well, Bob, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
On the various things that the government is doing, the CIA are doing, we have, I think, at least six of the 70 carries, and Bob does a great job. Call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like to get Bob's DVDs. And then we've just finished our DVD. It's a talk we gave a couple of months ago called Financial Armageddon. We just got the PowerPoint program put onto there. And it really goes into the background of who created the current financial meltdown and how did they do it. I mean, certainly we're told, oh my goodness, you know, we're doing everything we can to try to correct this. There's a government spending all this money to correct the problem. They had a Hope for Homeowners program. It had, you know, $3 billion to spend to help 400,000 homeowners stay in their homes. And of course, after 6 months, one homeowner had actually had his mortgage rewritten. Now, how could you possibly do something that stupid unintentionally? Basically, they've just passed the credit card legislation. You know, we have people, of course, you know, who just can't buy. They'd like to go out and buy and use their credit cards as they did in the past, but they're stuck with a 36% interest rate. So they're simply not spending the money. But we tell us the solution is to get people out spending money again. So why are we going to wait till February of next year before anything happens with the credit cards? And why is it that they didn't lower the 36% interest rates? It's all showbiz, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you need to get our DVD for Financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. It has so much of the information you're not going to get elsewhere about why we're where we are today. Again, number 1-800-544-8927. If you wonder about the CIA and assassinations, we have a DVD called Deadly Assassins. It's interviews with a couple of CIA assassins who actually, of course, had been given contracts to kill people. They didn't kill the people they were given contracts on, but of course they, I sure, killed other people, but they're not going to talk about that because there's no statute of limitation on murder. Deadly Assassins, an excellent 4-CD set. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We have all hundreds of books and videos and DVDs, information you're not going to get elsewhere. We've got a great book called Meltdown, written by Thomas Wood. It goes into the background of, he's from the Von Mises School, Von Mises Institute. Goes into, of course, what we should be doing, and we're not going to be doing it now. How the government's doing everything they can to make the situation worse. But you're not going to hear that anyplace. Fortunately, this book did very well on the New York Times bestseller. But we carry it, The Meltdown. We're carrying, of course, the book, The Family of Secrets, Going into the Bush Family. We think it's an important book. And, of course, we have my syllabus on the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, with the idea that you can't tell the players unless you have a program, and we're giving you the program so that you can know what's going on. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our website is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Go there, listen to our programs, and help us to get the word out across America. Quite frankly, we need your help to get the word out. If you're in a position to help us financially, of course, many of the ministries are having real financial problems, and we want to be able to maintain the network we have of almost over 60 outlets every single week. We need to keep getting the information out across America, and with your help, we can. So again, our number 1-800-544-8927. There's a donate button on our website. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
There are many people asking questions. There are many people asking why. There are many people paying attention. There are many now who see the big lie. There are many folks who want to get busy. And your greatest fear is L-O-R-N-I.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The Power Hour Radio Show. Yes, it is the Tuesday, 26th of May edition to the Power Hour. I have to tell you, over the weekend, it was so frustrating watching Memorial Day. I cannot tell you.